Mark chapter 5, as we stand to our feet today, Mark chapter 5. I'm going to preach a message with the title of When It Seems the Lord Has Delayed Past the Time of Help. And I preach this message sometimes in revival. I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to remember if I've ever preached it here or not. Maybe one time years ago, I went back and looked somewhere maybe around 2007. But I preached this in revival on occasion. But I want to preach on that thought when it seems like the Lord has delayed past the time of help. And there comes times in our life that we feel that way. We feel like that the Lord has let us down, or we feel like that the Lord can't help in this situation. It went too far, it's went too bad, it can't be fixed. But I want to show you today that it can be. Amen. Whatever it is that you feel like God has slighted you on, He has not. Starting in Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Ain't it a joy to be here today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here. Look in verse, let's back up in verse 21. And the Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Now, can I park right here? Just let me say something right here. Ain't that wonderful? She knew what Jesus had done for her. I mean, that's just wonderful. I hope you know what Jesus has done for you today. "And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day and the singing that has already took place. And Lord, we thank you for the congregational singing today. And what a great day, one day after a while, that glad reunion day. But Lord, for the two specials that was sung, well, there's nobody like you. And Lord, there's never going to be nobody like you. And Lord, we ought to praise you for that. Lord, as we preach now, we certainly need your touch and need your help, and Lord, need your instruction. And let this message be a blessing to your people. And Lord, if there's somebody here lost, that you might save them. Lord, that we could point to Calvary, what you've done for us, so that we might get saved and be saved and know that we're saved. And Lord, we pray that you'd help the one that has a need. Lord, I pray you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, we pray just for power from on high now for just a little while, and that to be able to preach. Give us a clarity of mind and guard our thoughts. Lord, I pray you do that this morning. We love you and thank you for loving us. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. Now, if you look in the prior part of this chapter, you'll find that in verses 1 through verses 20, the Lord dealt with that demonic man that was of the Gadareans. He dealt with him and he delivered him. And then God done something for him, and he went out and told everybody what the Lord done for him. Verse 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." Let me say today that, friend, men, you ought to tell what Jesus has done for us. If you're saved, you have a testimony. You have a story to tell. Thank God for that we can tell what Jesus done for us and what He can do for others if they'll come to Him. But we find the story here of Jairus' daughter and the woman that had the issue and that of blood. And most of y'all know how I'm going to preach this morning. But I want you to stay with me for just a little while while I preach. Number one, we see the desire in that of a daddy. Listen, here comes Jairus. I think about this for just a minute. If you'd get in your mind, he is a ruler and that of the synagogue. He is the one that's come, now not the temple, but the synagogue was the meeting place in each community and each town that the Jews would go and meet and have public worship and that together. As a matter of fact, you'll find that the Bible tells us that the Lord went to the synagogue as it was His custom, and He would stand up and begin to read and begin to teach and begin to preach. But you see, you've got a ruler. He's kind of the one that took care of the place. He's the one that would call on folk to come and read and make sure the scrolls was there that they needed. And so he's a ruler of the synagogue. And if you notice, it was a very humble desire that he had. Because I want you to look at how he was. You'll find that as he comes, you'll find that he's got a little daughter in verse 23 that's lying at the point of death. But he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. Listen, Jairus didn't come to the Lord with his desire to have his daughter healed and to find help for her. Listen, did you notice it wasn't only for Jairus or for his daughter, friend, that he was looking for help, but no doubt this was going to give him some peace and give his wife some peace and give them some help if Jesus would just come and help his daughter. You know, a lot of times we approach the throne of grace and we order to approach it boldly. There's no doubt of that, because listen, if we need something, we need to come and tell him. But we need to come in the state of humility. Notice he fell down before Jesus' feet. Do you believe that he was heartbroken? How many of you moms and dads, if your daughter was laying, your son was laying at home and just about to die, just about to leave out of here, wouldn't you be heartbroken? Wouldn't you be in a place to where grief was overtaking you? And no doubt Jairus had heard about what this man Jesus was doing. No doubt he had heard, boy, that he's healing the sick. He's helping all these that need help. And he's doing miracles that nobody else can do. And boy, I believe he's got in his mind that not only is he a miracle worker, but no doubt as he come and fell down before Jesus, he knew there was something special about this man. Hey, can I tell you, when we come to the throne of grace and we come in humility, realizing that the Lord don't have to do anything for us. He didn't save us on our worth or on our merit, but He saved us because He loved us and then made us part of the family of God. And then we can come and approach Him and ask Him for a need. Listen, there's no doubt, friend, that we ought to come in humility. Boy, sometimes it's heartbroken and said, Lord, I need your help. When's the last time you ever just looked up to heaven and said, Lord, I just need your help? There's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. There's no other work that I can put in my own hands to get this done. And I realize that, and I need some help. The Bible said, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And so imagine Jairus as he comes. It was a humble desire as he met with the Lord. But listen, as he come, he had faith in the Lord, didn't he? It was a hopeful desire. I want you to look right here what he says. It says that he fell to his feet and he said, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Now listen, his daughter ain't dead yet. His daughter's not died, and what he's wanting is Jesus to come and heal her. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you look at this woman that's going to come after a while and just touch the hem of his garment and going to be healed, if you go over to Luke chapter 8, we find the same story there. And in two chapters prior, you'll find out that people was just coming by and would touch his clothes and be healed. And so now doubt Jairus has heard these stories. And no doubt Jairus might have seen these same folk that's been healed. You know, the Lord, He done a lot of His ministry up around the Sea of Galilee. If you go and you look at the Lord's ministry, he'd done a lot up around Galilee and Nazareth and up around Capernaum. As a matter of fact, I believe he's at Capernaum at this time, and he'd done a lot of his ministry up there. And so Jairus, he comes with a hopeful desire and that in faith. Let me ask you something. When we have a need from the Lord and we bow down to pray and we get in a place that where we can get alone and begin to talk to the Lord, let me ask you, how many of us come in faith? How many of us come in faith when we pray? You know, he come to the Lord and said, Lord, if you'll just come and touch her, said, I know you can heal her. I know that you can help her. I mean, listen, he's got a hopeful desire. Listen, when I pray, I always try to pray in faith and have hope that God hears me. And not only hears me, but that he will answer me. Let me ask you, I don't know what's going on in your life today. And it may be a small thing or it may be a big thing. But have you took it to the Lord? There's an old song that I grew up with. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't we sing that here, don't we? Huh? When's the last time you just took it to the Lord in prayer? Instead of wringing your hands and worrying and sweating over it, you just took it to the Lord. Now, I'm one to talk. I'll be honest with you. I wring my hands over some stuff, and I worry about some stuff, and I try to pray. Have you ever tried to pray and just felt like you wasn't doing no good? Can I tell you, listen, if you're serving the Lord and you're praying and you don't think he's doing any good, I'm just going to tell you, I believe he still hears us sometimes. I do. We don't feel like he does sometimes, but he does. I'm determined that sometimes I told my dad some things growing up, and I know he heard me. He just didn't acknowledge me sometimes. Huh? And then you know what? Later on down the road, I found out, yeah, he did hear me, and yeah, he done something for me. But you know what? He comes to the Lord over here. You've got a desire of a daddy that's wanting to see his child get better. There's a lot of you moms and dads in here today. You would do anything for your child. You would go anywhere. You would do anything. You would give up any pride. I don't know if Jairus had any pride being the ruler of the synagogue, but he sure didn't worry about who was going to say anything about him. He didn't care. Why? His daughter was laying over here at death's door and was just about to slip off. And he comes and he finds Jesus. And so you find that it was a hopeful desire. He had faith in the Lord. The Bible said without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. I always try to think about that conversation that him and his wife might have had that morning before he left the house. And I can imagine as they talked with each other, and again, I'm just preaching between the lines, you can throw it out, but you know, I can imagine he said, we're down to our last run of what we know to do, that what we can do, that we've called every doctor, we've got everybody here, anybody that can help is helped, and she's dying, and listen, she's leaving here, I'm going to go get this man called Jesus. And so here he goes. And he says that she's at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. He had great faith in the Lord. How is our faith with the Lord? And Jesus went with him. Boy, now, can you imagine how Jairus felt? He comes to the Lord and begins to tell him his story. Said, my daughter's at home and she's sick, and if you'll just come and touch her, she'll be well. And Jesus looks at Jairus and says, all right, I'll go with you. Now, can you imagine the excitement and the relief that flooded Jairus' heart? The man that has been healing everybody else has agreed to come to my house, and he's going to touch my daughter. And he's going to help my daughter to get well. How many times have we ever prayed and knew that we got through, knew that heaven heard us, and knew that God was going to answer our prayer? I mean, we just knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. God heard me. I know he heard me. And I know he's going to answer my prayer. But I want you to look at what the Bible said in verse 24. It said right here, Jesus went with him. But then it said, and much people followed him and thronged him. So as he is making his way to Jairus' house, there's a bunch of people around him. And there's a bunch of people thronging on him. And that means to gather up and close in on him. And in the meanwhile, while Jairus and his wife's been having a conversation over here in the house, this woman in verse 25 been having a conversation with herself. Jairus and his wife's been having a conversation, but she's been having a conversation with herself. Number two, I want you to see a delay that's been caused. What happens right here? And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and by the way, I'll go ahead and ask you this question because I don't know the answer to it, but if you've got something, you let me know. This woman's had an issue of blood for 12 years, and this little girl's 12 years old. So when her sickness started, this little girl was birthed into the world. When she got sick, Jairus and his wife was having this little girl. I don't know what that's all about, but if you've got something, you let me know after a while, okay? And the Bible said that she had an issue of blood and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered and rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And so she got up that morning and heard that Jesus was coming by. She had suffered and suffered and suffered. She had a disease that she could not fix. She had a blood problem that, listen, that she could not remedy. And listen, that's how lost people are that need to get saved. They've got a blood problem that they cannot remedy, that they cannot fix. It's a dirty problem. Listen, we can't fix our dirtiness about us, but Christ Jesus the Lord can. And she begins to have a conversation with herself. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So Jairus leaves his house when telling his wife, I'm going to go get Jesus and let him come and heal our daughter. But this woman who has suffered for 12 years and has spent all and done all. And by the way, there's nothing you can do to fix yourself if you're lost. I look across the house, I assume everybody's in here saved. But listen, he said right here that for those 12 years, she had suffered many things of many physicians. Nobody could help her. But when she heard of Jesus, ain't you glad there was a day that you heard of Jesus? Ain't you glad there was a wonderful day that you found out that Christ could come and help you? I mean, listen, she was discouraged and she was in desperation. She had done all, seen all, went to everywhere that she could, tried everybody that there was to try except Jesus. And so this day, she gets up and she hears that this man Jesus is coming by. And she says to herself, she has that conversation in her mind, and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his clothes. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 6. Because I've often wondered how she knew that. How did she know that if I just touch the hem of his clothes, I can be made whole? If you look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19, I believe it is. Go back to verse 18. Well, we'll back up one more. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they, boy, you're talking about singing that song, there's not a one There's not a one like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. They had never seen anybody like him. In all generations, in all their life, they had never seen anybody like Jesus. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now don't you reckon that got told abroad? Because if you go look, this is prior to this time right here with this woman with the issue of blood. Don't you reckon that them stories got told? As a matter of fact, the more he would tell them not to tell, the more that his fame would spread abroad throughout of all Judea. And they were going and they would get close to Jesus and they would touch him and virtue would go out of him. And so that woman, she had a conversation with herself and with her faith right here. And she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She said, if I can get in touching distance of him. You know, as we studied in Sunday school this morning in the book of Acts, you find that Peter's shadow just had to pass on him. And they were healed. Boy, I'm telling you, the Lord told them the truth. He said, the works that I've done, he said, greater works you'll do. They didn't even have to touch them. All they had to do was pass by in the market street where the sick were lying. And when their shadow touched them, they were healed. She said, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Where's Jairus in all this? People strong in Jesus. I'm trying to get it in your mind how this thing plays out a little bit. Jairus has went to get Jesus and he's walking on his way, and I can almost think in his mind, I don't know if he's whistling or not, but he's thinking, man, he's coming to my house. And all in the time when he was thinking he's coming to my house, this woman that's had an issue of blood, she's sneaking up on Jesus, if you would. And she knew that Jesus was her only help. She's been discouraged. She's been in desperation because she's done everything that she could. Boy, ain't the world in desperation today. Don't they need Jesus? You know what'll fix our nation's problem? Jesus. People don't want him, but he'll fix it. Boy, I was listening to Brother Roloff Friday morning. I was in the truck early and I was listening to Brother Roloff preaching. Man, he was just preaching about how folk need Jesus, and man, and talking about all the troubles that he was seeing in that day's generation. And it sounded like he was preaching today. Folk needed Jesus in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s when Brother Roloff was alive and he was preaching that same story that I'm preaching today, and folks still need Jesus because they can't fix theirself. We're trying everywhere in the world to fix ourself. Our generation's out there trying to fix ourselves. They're trying to fix their problem, trying to fix our nation's problem with every psychiatrist, with every way and everything that they can think of. But until they come to Christ, they'll never get help. She was determined to get there. Think about this for just a second. There was a throng of people. He was covered up. There was people everywhere. Think about, I mean, they were thronging him. They were, and I always wonder, I may preach on this sometimes. They were thronging him. They were touching him. They were close to him and pressing on him. But virtue did not go out of him till she showed up. Well, what were these other people doing? Why were they there? He didn't get tore up, if you let me put it that way, until that woman touched his garment. Then virtue went out of him. What were they doing there? You know, they some people come to church to get something, but not everybody. Not everybody. They crowd in, but they ain't there to get something. They're there to see something, but they ain't there to get something. She was there to get something. She was there to get some help. Because he turns around, and listen, she was determined to get there. And she got delivered because he turned around and said, who touched me? who touched my clothes? And the disciples, and you find out at another time, it might have been in Matthew or in Luke, Peter asked him, Peter and the disciples said, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Don't you see all these people thronging you and you want to know who touched you? And so a moment of time, Jesus stops. And he looks around and he's asking, who touched me? I believe until this time he was still moving toward Jairus' house. People were thronging him. People was pushing on him. But no doubt he was still headed in that direction. But for a moment of time, Jesus stops. And he says, who touched me? And he turns around. And what did she say? If I may but touch his clothes. If everybody is thronging him, how did she get up there to touch his clothes? How close do you reckon she got? Well, she had to get pretty close. I don't think he had a big long gown on that she could reach under and just touch the backside of it. She had to get in there. She had to work her way to get in. What was that old song? That old song, I pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus. So she presses in and she touches his clothes. And she's healed. The Bible said right here, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, two things. Verse 29, the Bible called it a plague. She had been plagued with that thing for 12 years. It wouldn't leave her alone. But when she came to Christ, he took care of it. And she knew that he took care of it. She was delivered of what had her. Weren't you glad when you got saved? You got delivered from some things. You got some help about some things. But I want you to look at what's going on right here. He said, who touched my clothes? And he stops. And he turns around. And he looks at her. He says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So he has stopped for just a minute. And he looks at her and says, daughter, been made part of the family of God. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But the Bible said in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? In verse 22 and verse 23 and verse 24, Jairus came and said, would you come to my house and help my daughter? And Jesus said, yes, I will come to your house and help your daughter who is sick. And in the process of that time, this woman comes and touches the hem of his garment and is made whole. And Jesus stops for a little while and looks at her and blesses her and says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But then he gets word that his daughter is dead. Because the Lord tarried, if you'd let me say that. Because the Lord stopped for a period of time, Jairus' daughter died. You know, the Bible talks about over in the book of Job 23, and I preach out of this sometimes, where he talks about him going forward, and he ain't turning backward, and he can't find him. And on the left hand, where he doth work, but I can't get him there either. And on the right hand, I preach about him working on the left hand. There are times that we can see the Lord working for somebody else and doing something for somebody else, but we just don't see him doing it for us. Jairus just witnessed him heal this woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. He was in the same crowd. He was in the same place. He just seen that take place. He just heard what Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He heard that. But the next thing Jairus hears is what? Why troublest thou the master any further? Your daughter's dead. I would say in my mind that the Lord has delayed past the time of help in Jairus' mind. There's nothing that can take place that can help. As a matter of fact, the people that were coming to him said, don't even bother him anymore. Your daughter has died. Can I ask you this morning, do you really believe, and I believe this in my heart, that at that split moment in time that Jairus' heart sunk? Helplessness took over him. Have you ever felt helpless? Maybe in a spiritual, let me back up. Have you ever felt helpless in a physical situation? You did not know what to do. You did not know how to fix something. You did not know where to turn. But it was important that this gets done. Listen, you may have been away from home. It's needed to get done where we could get home. Listen, I don't know. But have you ever just felt helpless? And in that moment of time, as Jairus' heart sunk within him. Now think about this for a minute. Jairus' wife, the mother of that girl, already knew that for a period of time. She knew before Jairus did. Imagine how she felt. Imagine how her heart sunk and left him without hope. You ever been a place where you just didn't seem like you had much hope? You were helpless and hopeless in the situation. I preach a message on that, being helpless and hopeless and hellbound if you're lost. But even God's people, if we're not careful and we lose faith, we get helpless and hopeless sometimes. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 27 when the Apostle Paul was caught in that Euroclodon out there. He talks about being out there for many days that the sun, they didn't see the sun or the stars. And he said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever been in a fight that you just couldn't get out of, a dark time that you couldn't fight your way out of? It was just, it was hopeless. And how do you know that? Because as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I believe he knew that fear was going to grip Jairus. He knew that fear, listen, was slipping in out of his heart and his life. And Jesus had delayed and didn't help like he said he was going to. You remember I asked you a few minutes ago, have you ever prayed and knew that heaven heard you and you knew God was going to answer your prayer just like you thought he was going to, but yet it did not happen? Not like you thought. He always hears. And he always helps. But here Jairus is. And the Lord, as soon as he heard what was said. And by the way, there wasn't nothing caught the Lord off guard. He knew that when he stopped to help that woman that had the issue of blood and he turned to look at her and said, go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole, be whole of thy plague. He knew Jairus' daughter was dead. He knew that. But his fear gripped Jairus. He said, be not afraid, only believe. The Lord gave him some hope, didn't he? You know why the Lord gave us his word right here in front of us? To give us some hope. That we can read it and we can see what he can do and what he does do and how much he loves us and wants to help us and take care of us and listen, that he does hear us. Gave him some hope. Sometimes even your preacher needs a little encouragement. I like encouragement. I like encouragement that comes out of the blue when people text you and send you little stuff just to encourage you. One of my dad's school boy friends, school time friends, let me put it like that, that he grew up with. He's a Nazarene preacher. And daddy went to school with him. And somehow they've got connected back up as they've got in their 70s. And he said he come by and seen me the other day, and we talked for a long time, and said he called me the other day, and I said he was preaching here, and I don't know if he invited that, but said he sent word to you. I said, sent word to me? He don't even know me. He said, but he sent word to you. Said, you just hang in there and keep doing what you're doing. You know, just a little encouragement along the way. Just a little encouragement. I took that as some encouragement. I like that. He had a little hope. You know, David said in Psalms chapter 56, I believe it is, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And that's what he was trying to get Jairus to do. He looked at Jairus, and when he heard those words, he said, be not afraid, only believe. When it seems like that the Lord has delayed past the time of help, be not afraid, only believe. Have hope in the Lord. Just the Lord speaking, just the Lord saying something can help us and get us through. And so as he goes, he's got some helpers here. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Now let me park right here and say this. People know when people's dead. This old girl had died. I mean, they knew that. You know, for lack of a better word, she's graveyard dead. They're fixing to take her out here and bury her is what they're going to do. They're going to have a funeral and they're going to bury her. They're weeping and they're wailing. And here comes the Lord and he walks in and he said, she ain't dead. She's only sleeping. We see it with the physical eye. But he sees it out of the miraculous eye that he could do something that they could not do. You say, we only see what we can see. We only do what we can do. But the Lord can see and do far beyond what we can ask or think, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. So he comes in and he says, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand. He took that little 12-year-old girl's hand that was dead. And no doubt she was probably still warm. And he picked up her hand and said unto her in verse 41, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now watch what your Bible says. And straightway the damsel arose. You know when the Lord gives a command, straightway it's got to happen. And walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. Man, they've all been standing out here crying and weeping and wailing and carrying on. And now this girl's going to walk out of her bedroom. And he's telling them, don't let nobody know. Look what your Bible says. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. You know, the more he told them not to do that, the more they would. Fame got spread abroad everywhere when you read. Jairus starts his day out by going to find Jesus so that he can heal his daughter. And in the process of time, Jesus stops to help somebody else. You ever seen him helping somebody else and somebody else being blessed and somebody else just, man, it's going great for them and they're serving God and they're living for God and he's handling everything for them and you talk to them and man, they're just, you don't want to talk to them because they're going to talk about how good the Lord is and how he's blessing them and you know where you're at. Only if the Lord would come by. on occasion I go to preacher's fellowships. And I would go to preacher's fellowships, and a lot of times it's pastors there. And you got to watch them, boys. You got to watch preachers sometimes. You all want me to expound on that just a little bit. Sometimes it turns into more of a show than it does of something that can help you. So you got to be careful about that whole thing right there. But you know, when one of them gets up there and he begins to tell you some things that you know out of Scripture, but I would sit there and I would listen to them, and I would listen to them talk about some of the hard things they've went through and times in life that they've been through and stuff that their church has went through, and how folk forsook them and left them, and boy, we've had this hard time. And you know, back in the day, I would go listen and I would sit on that pew and I think, boy, I'm glad that ain't us. I'm glad that ain't our church. I'm glad that ain't me. I'm glad I ain't battling that thing. Man, everything is going great. And I would sit there and I'd think, I'm glad that ain't me. And then one day it turns into you. You may not think you'll ever come to the point to where Jairus is or where this woman had the issue of blood is, but I'll guarantee you there'll probably come a day where you'll be in one of their positions. You're not going to know what to do. But if you'll come and you'll touch the hem of his garment, he can help you. You're going to get word one day that you're not going to know what to do. You're going to start out with an idea that tells you that if you go and go to the throne of grace and mercy to find mercy to help in a time of need, and that's Scripture, and we need to do that, you're going to come and you're going to pray and you're going to seek God. And listen, you're going to know that he heard you. But it still don't work the same way you thought. But the Lord dismissed death's grip right here at the end. He touched her. She got her health back. She gets up. She's healed. How do you know she was healed? Well, what did he say? Let me see if I can find this. You find that when he raises her up, if you go and you look, it's either in the book of Matthew or the book of Luke, I believe it is, you'll find that he said to give her something to eat. When you get better, what's one of the first things that goes when you're sick? You don't want to eat, do you? She gets up, and it might have been in Luke, I can't remember, but he said, give her something to eat. And she eats. You know something? She's healed because Jesus came by. Now, it didn't work out the way Jairus thought it was going to work out. Let me ask you this question before I close. How many of you just knew it was going to work out a certain way, but boy, at the end of it all, it didn't work out nothing like you thought it was going to, but it did work out. Well, maybe it's a family problem. Maybe it's a job problem. I don't know. But it just didn't work out like you thought it was going to. But yet it worked out. And it took a little longer than what you thought that it was going to. All I'm saying is when it looks like the Lord has delayed past the time of help, realize he might want to do something greater in your life than just fix this problem over here. Because you know what the Lord done? He didn't only heal that girl, he raised her from the dead. He done a greater miracle by waiting, by getting held up. He got to show a greater miracle than if he would have just went and touched her. Can you imagine the stories that went around after that? Hey, do you hear what Jesus done? Not only did he heal that woman that touched just the hem of his garment, but man, he went over to Jairus' house and went in her room and touched her and told her to get up, and she got up. See, if he would have got there just in the nick of time, according to Jairus' thought pattern, she would have just been, and it would have been great. It would have been great. She would have just been another one that got healed. There's nothing wrong with that. It would have been wonderful. But she got raised from the dead. All I'm trying to show you is when it seems like the Lord has delayed past the time of help, he still knows what's going on. And he can still help you when fear grips you, he told Jairus, he said, be not afraid. What? Only believe. Trust. Trust. What did we study in Sunday school this morning? What did we close with? Trust and obey. Well, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When it seems like the Lord has delayed past the time of help, don't lose faith in Him. Don't give up on Him. He will see us through. He wants to keep us. Let's bow our head this morning across the house. It's just a little music sign, if you would. Listen, if you need to come and pray, I don't know where you're at. There may be fear has gripped your life. You may be afraid of some things. You may be wondering about some things. Why ain't God moved? Like I knew He was going to move, that He was going to do this and do that. But yet it seems like the Lord has let you down. Be not afraid. Only believe. Put your faith and hope and trust in Him, and the Lord will see you through.